Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. I'm Connor Orr, Albert Breers here. We have recovered somewhat from Memorial Day weekend. I'm sure you notice a little bit of raspiness in my voice. That's because when you take your kids to a water park, Albert, you're sort of marinating in a sea of disease.
I actually love water parks. My wife is.
I do too.
Is beyond grossed out by them. thinks there's this place up here called Water Country, which is in New Hampshire that I used to love going to as a kid. I don't think my parents loved the idea, the concept of a water park either, but they took me. And I absolutely 100% would go back. I'm just not sure my wife is as into the whole concept as I am. So I'd say we're TBD on whether or not my kids get to have the incredible experience that I did going to Water Country growing up. Where'd you go?
We went to Great Wolf, which is
where
like
is that?
They're all over the country. We went to one in the Pocono Mountains, and It's good. I mean, they have like all your standard raft water slides. There's a wave pool.
The wave pool. I used to love the wave pool.
Wave pool is absolutely clutch. And then they have this thing where. There's this giant bucket. It's probably it's like the size of a shed that is constantly being filled up with water. And then when it fills up to the top, this massive bell rings, like an air raid siren goes off. And then everyone in the place just gets doused with like a fire hose grade velocity of falling water.
What's this called? What's the ride called?
It's called that's not a ride. It's just in the park. You can't avoid it. You just get smashed with this bucket. And so I love the bucket. It was good. It was, there were like a few times where my wife was like eyeing up the side of the, there's a kid's hot tub and she's like looking over there and she's like, I think someone might've pooped their pants. Let's get out of here.
Caddyshack situation. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so much, it's so heavily chlorinated that it almost just like disintegrates it. And so you're left to just make it, you're just left to make a judgment call.
Oh, yeah. When you come out of those places, your eyes would be on fire. I remember that from back in the day.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was good. My one fatal error was we got my 3-year-old down three or four water slides, the big ones, but like he's just tall enough, like where he makes the cutoff for like the older
It's
kid
like 48
wristband.
inches or whatever,
It was
or is it
42, yeah. And
42? Okay.
so he hit the 42, and I mean, was anyone really checking? I don't know. But and like he was
I'm sure
going
there's like
down.
a little disclaimer in really small type at the bottom of that thing that you're responsible for if you put your kid who's under 42 inches out there, you're responsible for anything else that
If
happens.
you manage to trick this indifferent teenage lifeguard into getting your kid on the ride, it's still your fault. But yeah, we got him down a couple rides, and then I got greedy because, like, we're swimming all day and the kids are exhausted, and I was like, one more, and he's like Rocky in round 10. He's just like, ugh. And I'm like, come on, buddy, one more. And then that was the one where he falls through the tube right at the end of the ride and goes underwater for the first time in his life. And so, and
Oh,
then,
yeah.
so I
That's a
picked him
jarring
right.
experience.
It is. I mean, I picked him right up out of the water, but then like after that, it was just like, okay, we're done. It's time to go. It's
Yeah.
time to go watch Bat Wheels.
It's funny
And
that you bring this up too, because I just watched the I went down a little bit of a Simpsons rabbit hole last week, and I got to the Mount Splashmore episode. I don't know if you remember that one.
ooh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that was I actually want to go back and watch that entire one because that was one of the more memorable ones from the 90s.
It also is, by the way, we're doing AFC divisional projections today. We're going to get to that in a second. But speaking of,
After we break down water parks across the Northeast.
you got any Six Flags takes? But there is one little bit of business to take care of, speaking of ruined vacations, Albert, and that is the fact that it looks like by
Yeah.
next year, we could have earlier starts to training camps. We could have OTAs moved to June. And then basically, our one respite from the NFL machine would be like, I don't know, May 5th to like May 31st.
Yep,
That's
which like
it.
congratulations to us while our kids are still in school,
Right.
right?
I don't like that.
This is really I hate it for selfish reasons. Let me just put my cards on the table there first, right?
Oh,
Like
100%.
for selfish reasons, this is disastrous. I think players and coaches are going to end up despising it too if it goes through. I think it's like so you can say like, well, this is just a ramp up period and like, but you know what? The coaches, the scouts, the trainers, the weight room, they all have to be there for that, you know? And so if you're talking about like, oh, well, it's optional, it starts in mid-June. Okay. Well, that's optional for a player whose spot on the roster is secure, but it's not optional if we're talking about like the facts here. It's really not optional for what, 80, 90% of players? Like they got to be there. If they want to make the team, right? And they want to hold on to starting jobs or anything else. You know, who else has got to be there is coaches and front office people. And coaches and front office people and weight room people and trainers and doctors, they have kids. I don't know, are your kids off on May 15th?
No.
Like, so how is this going to work for like the NFL has been very aggressive in filling up the calendar and they've extended the season out. The season like now ends 2 weeks after it did when I started covering it, right? Because it used to end on the first weekend in January, or in the last weekend in January. That was when the Super Bowl was. Now it ends second weekend in February. If they go to 18 games, that would go to President's Day weekend. If they wanted to put in a second bye, which I don't think they would do, but if they did that, that would take you to the end of February. So they've done that. Off-season programs now start in mid-April. You've got free agency in March. You've got the draft in April. They've filled up so much of the calendar, but one thing that's remained is from the middle of June to the middle of July, the league largely shuts down. And if you actually look at it, like it's kind of funny, like most NFL people, like even media like me too, like most NFL people, their anniversaries are at the end of June or beginning of July.
Or like kids being born, you know what I mean? Like they play, like, and
Yeah.
people laugh about that, but I know I know media people, and I'm 100% certain there are tons of football people who, and you could say it's a sickness, whatever you want to call it, but like they plan births around the NFL calendar
Right.
because they want to be there for all that stuff, you know?
Right. So, like, I don't know. You tell me, like, what our lives are already set up in a certain way. Everybody in football, not just media, like everybody in football, our lives are set up in a certain way where we know what we signed up for, right? The games are played when people aren't working. That's a reality of it. This is not a 9-to-5 job. We work weekends, right? We work holidays. It's just the reality of what you signed up for. So you're already putting that stress on the people around you because of what your job is. And again, like that's a prerequisite to getting into what we do for a living. Now you're infringing further upon that, like, and it's already gotten worse, like slowly, progressively. Christmas is something that we've talked about. And like, so now you're going to take the summer away? So now, like, for people who work in the sport, you're going to put their time off in May, right? Because again, like if you are starting OTAs, if you are starting the off-season program, if you are starting the ramp up in the middle of June, that's not optional for coaches. That's not optional for team doctors. That's not optional for trainers and strength coaches. That's not optional for all of them. Like they have to be there, right? So now, okay, so my kids are off. And up here, like our kids don't get off till the middle of June. I don't know what it's like where you guys are at, but our kids
Same.
don't get off till like June 15th.
Yeah.
So, like effectively, if you were working for a team in the Northeast, you'd be going back for the season as your kids are breaking for summer.
Right.
This is a disastrous idea. I'll say it right now. This is not a good idea. And it is probably driven, I'm sure it's driven by to some degree to science. I'm sure there's some science that backs up that the ramp up that they did during the COVID year did work to some degree, and that's fine. Like, great. Like, there are other ways to handle
But
that.
it's a 1 year sample size.
Yeah, it's a 1 year sample size. There are other ways to handle this. You know, the real life application of it does not work. The minute I saw it, I knew it. And, you know, the NFLPA may be fine with it because the NFLPA, the like 80% of the players are 22, 23, 24 years old.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of those guys don't have kids, don't have families. When I was 23, I could go away in the middle of May.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
that was no problem. I can't anymore, you
Yeah.
know? So I just think the real life application of this is they're not seeing around a corner that I think is a pretty major one when we're talking about the off-field lives of everyone who works in football.
I think it's one of these things. I talked to a coach about this not a couple years ago, where we had basically discussed this idea of can you be a good coach and a good person? And by good person, I mean in quotes, right? Like,
Dad,
can, yeah,
husband,
dad,
like,
husband, all the things that are on our plate, right? And, you know, I know coaches who have gone to extraordinary lengths to provide some semblance of normalcy for their families. Going, you know, one was leaving, basically like getting everything done through 7 o'clock, giving everybody 7 to 9:30 off so they could leave, go have dinner, put their kids to bed, help them with their homework, and then they come back at 10 and then they work until like 2 o'clock in the morning. What you're doing, in my mind, is you're just continuously winnowing the pool down of human beings who are willing to put themselves through this gauntlet. And what you're left with, like, I don't know, it's like, is the person that's just willing to ignore everything for the NFL and or like feels like they have to, or you know, because there's two sides to that. There's the people who are just like the NFL is more important than anything. And is that the kind of guy I want to be around? And also the B one are the people who feel like I have to do this because it's my livelihood, but they're also doing it while existing with this nagging feeling that I'm not doing enough. You know, I'm not being around at home. You know, I'm sacrificing all this stuff. And so it sucks. I mean, you know, I think it's just I don't know. I think it's a bad situation. I think it's a
I
bad
mean,
idea.
and you look at the other sports, right? Like, so they all have their problems because, like, it's just, again, it's what you sign up for. The game, and I think the fundamental thing, I've said this to journalism classes, like, if you want to cover sports, the games are when other people aren't working. They aren't putting the games at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, they're just not doing that. So you're going to have to work when other people aren't. It's what you sign up for. But, like, so if you cover the NBA, you effectively get a lot of the summer off, right? If you cover the NHL, you effectively get a lot of the summer off. If you cover baseball, it's tough. You're going to miss a lot of the summer, but you're home for Thanksgiving. You're home for Christmas. If you want to go to on a ski trip in your kid's winter vacation, you can do that. This is like winnow again. Like, I think you said, use the right term, winnowing away the time people have. And I'm somebody who's never had a, I never had a problem. Like, I know what I signed up for, but like, I've never had a problem working. If there's games on holiday, fine, I'll work. You know what I mean? Like, you don't like it, especially as you have kids and everything else, but there's a part of it where it's like, yes, that's what we signed up for. I understand. And you find ways creatively to work around it. It's like when stuff like this happens, it's just like, all right, this is some idiots in a boardroom. And in a lot of cases, the people who come up with these ideas will not have to work those days,
No, of
right?
course
Like
not.
the people at the NFL office, like this, like up on Park Avenue, they won't be working these days. You know what I mean? They'll be away at their beach house. Again, like the, and it's just, I would expect a ton of pushback on this. I'd be surprised if there wasn't.
I'm just saying, me dragging my body off the beach on June 16th to come over there. I don't know. Not gonna look pretty. I'm not gonna be in. I'm gonna do it, damn it. But I'm not gonna be in a good mood, Roger. Just saying. All right, let's get to projected. We're gonna do the AFC today. So we have a lot of stuff coming down the pike. One thing that I do every year is I predict all 272 games. You guys might know this. Sometimes it goes really well. I mean, one year I got six teams' records dead on, which is pretty good.
You
And
got
I
six
think
teams, right? Who'd you get it? Who'd you nail?
not last, I think it was the year before last. I think I got six teams' records dead on, and then there was another handful of teams that I was within a game or two, right? Last year didn't go well, right? Last year I predicted that the Buccaneers would win two games. Jason Light came and physically and mentally berated me. No, I'm just kidding. He's a good guy. He confronted me about it. We've buried the hatchet. I had the Patriots win the AFC East, all-time error on my part. Now Bill Belichick is gone. Patriots dynasty is over. Some things change, and so we got to get prepared. So this will help me kind of, I don't know. We're talking about ramp up period. This is going to help me ramp up a little bit for our my big prediction season. I want to go down each division now that we know everything has happened with the draft, now that free agency is just about over, before the big catastrophic injuries happen, because I think this is a fair time to judge a team, right? You know, for example, we thought the Jets were some level of a team. And then, you know, when Aaron Rodgers goes down, what's the old Tom Moore quote? You don't practice being effed, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
You know, I think this is a
I don't
fair
we
t
don't pra we don't practice aft.
we don't practice effed. You know, I think it's one of these situations where it's a good time to look at them and be like, okay, how good of a job did these GMs do at least putting the team together, right? This is the team we import into our Madden simulation and we see what's going to happen. So I'm going to start with the AFC East, and Albert, raise your hand if you want to go first. But just give me your AFC East 1 through 4 as it looks right now.
Jets, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots.
Wow.
And I say that because the Bills are resetting now. I think the Bills could wind up being a better team in December than they are in September.
I agree with that.
Because I do think, but there's so many moving parts there. and so many different, like Keon Coleman, how quickly does he come on? Cole Bishop, what does he look like at safety? Is Micah Hyde back, which I think is possible. He's said, I think publicly now, that he would only come back to play in Buffalo. What does the corner situation look like without Tre'Davious White there? There's a lot of questions and a lot of younger players filling in. Matt Milano coming back from the injury. What does that look like? There's just a lot of things that the Bills have to sort out. Now, they have the best quarterback in the division. So that makes a difference. But I had the Jets in the AFC title game a year ago. I think that they've addressed aggressively their biggest weakness, which was the offensive tackle position, and getting Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, and Olu Fashanu. I don't look at their roster and see a major hole. Do you?
No. So that's the thing, right? And we're assuming health, but like, look at, for example, like I don't think Fashanu's even going to play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he might sit. And so you have,
well, and they, I mean, my understanding is they plan on their, developing him to play tackle.
Yes.
Like, they're not going to move him around. Like, their full expectation is that, and again, like, injuries can change all of this and everything else, but they're working with Smith, Moses, and Fashanu right now just as tackles. And so, again, things can change, but if you're doing that, like, that means you're planning on having Fashanu be the swing guy and a backup as a rookie.
If you look at this roster, like on defense, for example, there's a chance, like, you know, and I don't want to get into like who, but this defense could have 9 Pro Bowl players on it. If you look at that defense across the board, they could have 9 Pro Bowl players. That is, you know, like Solomon Thomas is like their 4th string defensive tackle, you know, that defense is deep. It's as deep as when Robert Saleh had a great defense when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. It's that good.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you have Jermaine Johnson, who I could take it to another level this year.
Yeah.
It was a first round pick to begin with.
Yeah.
You're putting Hassan Reddick opposite him to replace Bryce Huff. And then, oh, by the way, like Will McDonald, who they think is ultra explosive and has a chance, is your third guy. It's right. You're bringing in Kinlaw from San Francisco. Now, he didn't live up to first-round billing, but he's still a talented guy. Yeah, it's just, like, you look through their defense, and you're right. They're, like, players on players on players, and they were good last year to begin with.
You could, you know, okay, Aaron Rodgers is a Pro Bowl-caliber player if he's healthy. Breece Hall is a Pro Bowl-caliber player if he stays healthy. Elijah Vera Tucker is a Pro Bowl-caliber player. Tyron Smith, obviously a Pro Bowl-caliber player. Garrett Wilson. You know, gosh.
I mean, if Mike Williams stays healthy, that like adds something else that they didn't really have. I mean, Malachi Corley, you know, they feel like now they're not saying he's Debo Samuel, but they think he can do some Debo Samuel things. Like, there's just, again, like, health is a question for everybody. It's football. And obviously they've got the big question of health, which is, you know, involves the 40-year-old quarterback there, but I don't know why you wouldn't expect that they would win the division. I'll just say it that way.
It seems like last year I predicted them to win 8 games. And just because and there's this one thing that's, I can't get rid of, that's in the back of my mind, right? We have a team that's playing on artificial turf. Mm-hmm. Both of your tackles are in their early 30s.
They're like 33, I think. Are they 33? Both 33?
Yeah, like 33 with a lot of miles, looking, you know, getting to 34. Quarterback's 40. This offense, which a lot of people still don't
Mike
understand.
Mike Williams isn't like, that's the other side of the double-edged sword. Mike Williams has got a ton of injury history. He's not that old. I think he's only 28, right? But he's got a ton of injury history.
And you're on artificial turf, and this offense, it's a lot of lateral movement, right? It's a lot of, you know, east to west for the quarterbacks, for the offensive line. I mean, there's a chance that this whole team, you know, you and I love talking about that when people tweet the roster and go, oh my, who's gonna stop that? Like, and we're, you know, this is a version of that now, but there's a chance that 90% of this team isn't healthy in November, right?
Yeah.
And then we're just like, okay, how can we do it? But if we are locking everything in, if we are locking people in for 16 games, there's no way this team can't win, wouldn't win the AFC East.
Yeah, and the offense stood up too, I would say, right? Like, to me, like the offense or the defense, I mean, the defense held up through the Rodgers injury for a while last year.
They did.
They were,
they beat the Eagles back before the Eagles melted down. Right. And the Eagles were undefeated.
I think
almost beat the Chiefs.
I think there's something to that too, like where, okay, like we have to learn to win a different way because, and the Jets have been doing this, I guess, for a couple of years, but
since like 2009. Yeah.
Yeah. We have to do this a different way. We have to do this a different way. So if there is a game where Aaron Rodgers throws for 190 yards and two picks, we might be able to still survive that.
Right.
Because we have other levers we can pull. And all those guys had to go through that last year. And I think on the flip side of what we were talking about on offense, they aren't relying on a lot of age on defense, right? Like other than like Mosley and Reddick,
right?
And they've got some depth at both those positions. So, I mean, I think the defense is almost going to be good no matter what, it feels to me like. Unless there's like just a catastrophic injury situation across the board, like they could survive losing a couple guys. So yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, we tend to look at the Jets as, and this isn't fair to them, as like this circus or whatever constantly. And like, well, last year was a crap show. They won 7 games with like a scarecrow at quarterback.
I think by October, like they had like Garrett Wilson was the only starter from the first week of the season, something like that. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. I'm okay. So I'm with you. I mean, that's what I had too.
I think
Jets.
Buffalo still makes the playoffs though.
Oh yeah. I think Buffalo makes the playoffs and I 100% agree with you. I think this is going to be Buffalo is sort of entering their Patriots era where like Josh Allen is going to have to figure things out without a bona fide number one wide receiver.
Absolutely.
And just like Patrick Mahomes is right now. And you could say that Travis Kelce is, but Travis Kelce is not what Travis Kelce was at the beginning of the
day. No.
And
no.
So Travis Kelce is a little bit more of a complimentary, like a great complimentary player.
Yeah.
A complimentary player.
They're entering the reality of paying a quarterback stage of this whole thing.
Right.
Which is like, you can build it so for a couple of years at the front end of the contract, it's like, okay, like we can still keep the band together, but eventually that's going to catch up with you. And that's where the Bills are now. And that's why I think, like, actually, to talk about another team in the division, the Dolphins were probably smart to get ahead of the Tua contract. I just think it's going to cost them this year because, you know, you're turning over a lot of the defense. You've got a third defensive coordinator in 3 years. No Xavier Howard there anymore. No Jerome Baker there anymore. No Christian Wilkins there anymore. You got both your edge guys coming off of major injuries and Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. It just feels to me, Connor, like the Dolphins to match what they did last year. And I know they scored at a really high clip last year. That offense is going to have to be otherworldly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I have no doubt that Mike McDaniel will do it. Like, I think that he will figure out how to stay ahead. I'm not worried about people catching up to him schematically, but
yeah,
the reality of being an NFL head coach is probably going to hit him this year.
Yep.
And I hate to, you know, I hate to say it because I feel like more than any other NFL head coach, he has done such a good job of transforming a culture, making it a place where people want to come to work. I mean, we've gone through this, but
I mean, he's part of like them finishing number one in that NFLPA survey, right? Yeah.
But he can't control Tyreek Hill's soft tissue, you know, health. You know, there's stuff that you can't control. And I don't know. I wrote that if you gave him truth serum, I'd be curious to see what he would think about like wanting to get into the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. But he didn't. And that's okay. But I don't see it. And I know that there's still the Tua belief is real somewhere, but I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I don't think Tua, I think asking Tua to be your best player on a consistent basis is barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I don't think he's a good player. I think he's a good player. I just don't think that he's the kind of guy that, like, what the Bills are asking Josh Allen to do now, Josh Allen's capable of that. I don't know if you put Tua in that same situation that the Bills are putting Allen in, that the Chiefs put Mahomes in. I don't know that Tua can be that guy.
All right. So, Jets, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots.
So, are we in lockstep there?
We're lockstep there. I actually feel pretty good about that. All right. Moving on to the AFC North. This is the way that editor Mitch Goldich likes things. So, just a peek behind the curtain. If you're turning in an assignment for the MMQB, you have to turn it in order of, so it has to be east, north, south, west, because we're doing the directions in alphabetical order. And then if you're not ranking the teams.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. I always just thought of it as, like, most people start on the East Coast and then.
Nope. And then also you have to do, Mitch prefers alphabetical order of city as well if you're not ranking the teams. So you have to.
So city rather than. Nickname.
City rather than nickname. So we're gonna keep with the tradition here, and we're gonna go AFC North. You went first last time, so I'm gonna go. This one is
hard.
This is the worst one by far.
Because all the teams are good.
All the teams are good. The schedule is ridiculous. It's impossible. It's impossible to.
I mean, what they pulled off last year, too, to have in the same year, the number one, because this is all like a zero-sum game, right? Like everybody, as you know, part of your exercise every year, the all 272 or whatever, right? Like this is this whole thing has to all equal out. For in a single year, one division to have the number one seed and best team in football. Three playoff teams and a last place team that had a winning record is insane.
It's nuts.
Like for all those things to happen at once is like almost mathematically impossible. Oh. So that's what we're dealing with here.
All right. So I'm going to go Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. And I don't want to do that. But right. Because either way, you're going to look idiotic, right? When one of these teams turns it on, here's my two-step thought process. Let me flip that. I'm going to go Cincinnati. No, stick with it, Connor. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. Here's my thought process. Cleveland. Is Deshaun Watson's going to have to play out of this world. Cleveland lost Bill Callahan. So when Deshaun Watson...
Sneaky big loss.
It's huge. I mean, he's the best offensive line coach in the NFL. Well, I wrote about this when the Browns signed Deshaun Watson, because I think a lot of stuff gets propped up on... I mean, the team did a great job putting this whole thing together. But now... You're looking at a situation where you don't have the best offensive line coach in the NFL anymore. You went and got Jerry Jeudy, who could be great. I mean, Amari Cooper proved me so wrong. And so again, this team could finish in first place by three games. And that's kind of how we're looking at things. But you need Nick Chubb to play lights out. Coming off of a torn ACL, and Nick Chubb is now 28. Okay.
But with a ton of miles.
28 with a lot of miles.
Coming off of just an absolutely horrible injury.
Really bad injury.
Yeah.
David Njoku's going to be 28. Joel Bitonio is going to be 33.
Yep.
Okay. And then
losing Bill Callahan's a big deal. I mean, just to put this in perspective, if most teams have to play their fourth and fifth tackles, like in today's season's over,
right?
You know what I mean? Like it is, I think it is maybe even ahead of quarterback like depth at that position across the NFL is a huge, huge, huge problem. And we can, I mean, in a nutshell, a big part of it is like the way that the game's played in college, plus like the shortening of off-season program. You take contact out of practice, and then backups at that position really don't play in games, right? It's become really, really, really difficult to develop any sort of depth at those positions. And for that reason, if you're down to your fourth or fifth tackle, it's like the season's over. You know what I mean? Cleveland won with their fourth and fifth tackles last year. I almost think that's more remarkable than winning with like four different quarterbacks like they did.
Right.
You know? So, and how are they able to do that? Bill Callahan. Right. So, and I like the guy they brought in. Andy Dickerson's a very accomplished offensive line coach. He did a good job in Seattle developing guys like Cross and Lucas. And, you know, I think he'll do a good job, but man, that bar is high. You know what I mean? Like that. And it's not just offensive line development, it's development of the overall run game. And that run game, since Kevin Stefanski has gotten there, has been a monster, even when they haven't had Chubb in there.
I'm under attack by Daddy Longlegs, by the way. This is a scary situation going on here in the home podcast.
You want me to give you, while you handle that, you want me to give you my order?
I'll just make one last point because I have earned now this sort of reputation as a Browns defector. I mean, I grew up a Browns fan. I defected upon a certain signing a few Marches ago. I've been open about that. And so I think my Browns criticism comes with this, oh, here he goes, you know, kind of thing. But I don't think my points are invalid. And I also, like, Pittsburgh won 10 games last year with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, and they're getting Russell Wilson, who I also don't think is great, but Kenny Pickett threw 7 touchdown passes last year, or 6 or 7. He threw 13 in 2 years. Russell Wilson had a awful season that was so bad that the Broncos wanted to get rid of him, and he threw 26 last year.
Okay.
So they're going to be better. Pittsburgh is going to be better. I don't know.
What if Justin Fields is the quarterback?
What if Justin Fields is, I mean, that's great too. What if he's returning kicks? What if he's the running back and Russell Wilson, like Princeton, hands it off to him on a jet sweep, and then he throws a touchdown every time they run the Julian Edelman play? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But and also the Browns, Deshaun Watson's coming off a shoulder surgery. I don't know. Back me up here, Albert. Or don't.
All right. So I've got it a little different than you do. I got Cincinnati. Okay. Baltimore.
Okay.
And again, we're doing this on the fly.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, if anybody wants that peek behind the curtain that Connor gives you sometimes, we came up with a show topic like 5 minutes before before we started recording.
We did.
So I go Cincinnati, Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. No, sorry. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Okay. So you have a big step back for the Ravens.
So here's the reason why with the Ravens, and I love their program, what they built, and I think John Harbaugh is a top five coach. I think Eric DaCosta is a top five GM. They're losing 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen.
True.
Yeah. And Ronnie Stanley's had injury issues.
Yeah.
And they are completely revamping their backfield. Now they bring in Derrick Henry, right? But Derrick Henry's got a lot of miles. And then on defense, they're losing some of their edge guys, Clowney, obviously being primary among them. They lose Patrick Queen. This team lost more than people realized.
Yeah.
And the offensive line thing, like losing that many offensive linemen at once, you know, and again, I'm not saying Morgan Moses or John Simpson or Kevin Zeitler were world beaters. And certainly Tyler Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley are great anchors, but I mean, shoot, that's tough, losing 3 starting offensive linemen, you know? And so I'll just be interested to see what happens there. And I think, if this were another division, I think they could make it through it okay. I look at what Cincinnati did last year, and I look at the talent on Cleveland's roster, and I really like where those two teams are. We talked about that with the Jets, right? Having to learn to win a different way. The Bengals went 9-8 last year with not much of Joe Burrow. Right?
Yeah.
And so if you are presuming health for Burrow, which I know is can be a little bit of a moving target here, and then you look at, like, okay, like they went and they drafted an offensive lineman, and bringing in Mims from Georgia. And like, they're going to get a motivated T. Higgins when he shows up at the end of August. And they've got Jermaine Burton, who I think's got real potential at receiver. And they have been able to hold on to Lou Anarumo for the millionth consecutive year on defense to figure it out. They add, I think somebody who's going to be like an underrated defensive piece in Chris Jenkins in the draft, which I'm sure makes you feel old. I just like look at like the reality of all of this. And if Burrow stays healthy, the Bengals are going to be really freaking good. Like maybe going to the Super Bowl good again. They're the one team that's been able to stand up to like the Mahomes Goliath in Kansas City, you know?
Okay. All right.
Don't like that team?
No. I do. All right. You convinced me to flip. I'm going to flip Baltimore and Cincinnati. So I had Baltimore, Cincinnati. I will go Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
I just think there's things that, like, here's my logic on it, Connor. I'll be interested to hear, as a former offensive lineman, I'd be interested to hear what your take is on this. I just think that's a hard thing to mask. Like, if you're going through growing pains in the offensive line, like we just talked about the value of Bill Callahan. That's a really hard thing to mask.
I mean, when I had to come in games, it was a disaster.
But you know what I'm saying? I think it's really hard to hide when you're going through it at that
point. It's the one thing you can't, and coaches will say this across the board, it's the one thing that you can't overcome. I think that it was either Nate Tice or Robert Mays had a great quote where it was like, mm-hmm. we do all this, you know, work, sort of deifying and talking about all the schemes and how brilliant everything is. But so many games come down to like, this team had an ass right guard and they just blitz the living, you know what out of him. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And that's really,
well, and if you look at like the way that like the Patriots teams with Tom Brady, the Saints teams with Drew Brees, you make a lot about how like they would offload skill players, right? You know who they didn't offload?
Offensive linemen. Right. I mean, what was his like, name? Like both of those guys.
They invest. I mean, the Saints, they paid Teron Armstead and Jari Evans and Ben Grubbs.
That's who it was.
Like all of these guys who went through there over the years, like they had such great offensive linemen. Tom Brady played over the first, up until like the last couple of years of his career, like for the first like 16 years in New England, 17 years in New England, he had two left tackles.
Yeah.
It was Matt Light and it was Nate Solder. And then they'd have Sebastian Vollmer, who was like an all-pro on the other side, flip over when one of those guys was hurt.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's hard for me to get around. And I, again, like, the Ravens have been so consistently good, they're going to get through it eventually. I just wonder if this is a bit of a step back here because of issues like that.
You're right. Where did Jari Evans go to college, by the way? $5 bonus question. Can you tell me that?
God, I know it was non-Division One.
It wasn't a Division One. The only reason I know that is because I go see them play once a year.
It's not like Fairleigh Dickinson or something like that.
It's not Fairleigh Dickinson. No, okay. It's a 3-hour drive from me.
Oh, is it one of like the Division II Pennsylvania schools?
It
like
is.
One of those? Like,
yes.
Is it like Susquehanna?
It's not Susquehanna.
I have a friend of mine is like the all-time leading punt returner at Susquehanna. That's why I was
out
of my mouth.
Very cool.
Yeah. Or at least he was.
To the Huskies. I don't know if that helps.
I mean, the other one I would default to is Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
It's not UE Pewee. No.
Oh, that's cool. Now I know the
IUPUI.
UE Pewee. I like that. Now I know the local term for it.
They're red and gold.
No, it wouldn't be Kutztown because I would have heard that it was Kutztown because Kutztown had like Andre Reed and I don't know, man.
It was not Kutztown.
But Kutztown's one of them, right? Like in that league.
One of my best friends.
That league's like awesome football too for that level.
It's really good. Slippery Rock. There's a lot of good ones. It's Bloomsburg, by the way, the Huskies. Bloomsburg.
I wouldn't have got that. Okay, I don't feel bad.
Go Huskies. That was just neither here nor there. So,
but that league is excellent football. Like they've had real guys come out of there
for sure. So the one team that we haven't really, I mean, The Steelers.
Dad, by the way, the dad of one of my best friends played football at Kutztown. Was a my buddy Evan from college, who is from New Jersey, from Bridgewater, New Jersey.
Nice.
He his dad went to Kutztown.
My best friend.
There's another shout out for whatever that league's called. What is it? The I'm sure it's like the Pennsylvania
PSAC
Athletic Conference.
It's the PSAC.
PSAC. So that would be Pennsylvania
Scholastic Athletic Conference, maybe.
No, because Scholastic means high school, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, maybe.
It has to be like the PCAC, maybe.
PCAC.
The Pennsylvania Collegiate Athletic Conference. I don't know.
Yeah, my
because does Scholastic means high school? I think, right?
Yeah.
That's true. So. I think that's right.
One of my best friends stood up with me at my wedding, Connor Messler, Kutztown rugby legend. the Kutztown rugby powerhouse, by the way. People don't know that. It's a big, big deal.
Rugby?
Yeah, Kutztown. So the only team that we haven't really, I don't know, like the Steelers, like what is that? You know what I mean? And you're starting a rookie left tackle. Okay.
Yep.
You're starting a rookie center. Mm-hmm. You have Russell Wilson.
You get the second year right tackle who's moving over Broderick Jones.
Like with any other coach, I'm like, this is a hot mess disaster. And with Mike Tomlin, you're like, they could go to the AFC Championship game.
They're gonna start 1-5 and everybody's gonna, and then the rumor mill is gonna start churning.
Mike Tomlin's gonna go back to Penn State.
And then everybody's going to stop paying attention to them and look up, and it's like they're in the playoffs.
They're
like,
six and wait five. A minute,
what are they doing playing this weekend?
Yeah. Russell Wilson's going to be in the Pro Bowl conversation. Yeah. No, I mean, and so you got to think with them, right? I don't – a lot of people are like, oh, you know, new offensive coordinator, and you could say what you want about Art Smith. I'm a big Art Smith guy. Like, mm-hmm. I think this is, you know, I don't know. You can say Sean Payton can't make it work with Russell Wilson. How is Art Smith going to do it? I don't think Sean Payton didn't make it work with Russell Wilson. Sean Payton showed us to some degree that Russell Wilson is, and I think Nathaniel Hackett did too, but anyway, that's a whole different conversation. But they showed us that he is good enough to, like, this team had a guy who threw seven touchdowns.
Can I take my Justin Fields theory out for a test drive here?
Sure.
Okay, so.
Pull it out of the garage.
Like, I think Arthur Smith is as creative an offensive mind that can make it work for different quarterbacks as anyone in football.
Yeah.
Like, despite what happened in Atlanta, like, I think he – and I think part of what happened in Atlanta was maybe overconfidence that he could make it work with whatever, you know? So I think he's got an offense that's flexible that he can kind of tailor to whatever he's getting at the quarterback position. I also think, personally, that the – personality fit between Russell Wilson, Mike Tomlin, and Arthur Smith might not be ideal. And I think the personality fit between Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin, and Justin Fields is ideal. And I think with Fields, like if any of the stuff with Wilson happens and it starts to wear on those guys, I think they're going to look over at Fields and see a guy who is militaristic in his ability to prepare, who's a good teammate, who is going to do whatever he needs to do to help the team win, including putting his body on the line.
Yeah.
And I just think at some point, whether it's in June, in July, in August or September, there's going to be a conversation where it's, look at what we can do with Justin Fields. We can build, we don't have great receivers. We'll see what George Pickens becomes. We don't have great receivers. Got a good tight end in Pat Freiermuth. We've got an offensive line that we think is going to be pretty physical and grow over the course of the year. And we've got good running backs in Najee and Warren, right? So we can build an offense that can control the clock and lean into the defense with a guy who everyone in the locker room is going to respect almost instantly because of the way that he's willing to put his body on the line for the team and how tough he is and how hardworking he is. And I just like look at this and I'm like, Justin Fields makes more sense for them.
I like this.
What do you think?
If Justin Fields is the
because you know Tomlin and Arthur. Do you think I'm wrong about the personality?
I don't.
I think Justin Fields is a better personality fit.
I think Russell is going to have to come in a new person, which I do think he's capable of. I think he can.
Yeah, I think he can do that, but
do it.
It's not a sure thing.
But all right.
And it's easy to do that in like May. like what happens when things get a little more difficult, right? Like what happens when I personally would not be surprised if, and to the point where it's like, I wonder if Justin Fields saying what he said last week is a result of him seeing that too.
Let's go. Connor might not be wrong.
You heard what he said last week, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if he already sees it.
Let's go. AFC South, Albert, is going to be another tough one. Because
this is suddenly a good division.
It's suddenly a good division.
you know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to surprise.
It's not as good a division as the North, but it's just as hard to put in order.
Yes. All right. You go first.
Okay. Houston.
Okay.
Indy.
Okay.
Jacksonville. Tennessee.
Okay. I'm tempted to flip Indy and Houston. What are your thoughts on that?
Very high on the Colts.
I mean, this team finished one win
9-8 with
behind the Texans last year with Gardner Minshew.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of
different... It's a well-coached team. The staff returns intact. I like all of that.
If that defense improves...
I guess what we're asking is, what's the gap between C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson?
I mean, C.J. Stroud's a better quarterback. And Anthony Richardson is
right,
going
but we're
to,
asking, like, how big the gap is.
I don't know if it's necessarily... For me, it's not how big the gap is. For me, it's like how... Can you continue to play with Anthony Richardson the way that you want to play? Because right. Anthony Richardson still basically is going to have a whole rookie season next year, right?
Yep. And he's a tank, but he's gotten hurt a lot. Like this, like what happened last year wasn't isolated, no. Right? I mean, he was hurt in college too. So it's not like, and I believe in high school, like this is a guy who has extensive injury history now. And so... Can you play him that way anymore? I mean, what was it? How many games did he play? Four? And there was the concussion and then obviously the shoulder and that was it. So he got hurt twice in a month. So I'm with you. Like I think the Colts are going to be right there. I was tempted to actually put Tennessee in front of Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't think... I think
the Titans are going to be competitive.
Yeah, I'm not high on the Jaguars.
I'm a little worried about the Jaguars.
I am too.
I was super high in them last year. I would just say this with Houston. I look at Houston, and one thing that kind of gives me confidence that they're going to be able to build off of last year is not to turn this into the offensive line program, but the strength in the lines of scrimmage. Like, they're really good on both lines of scrimmage. And, you know, if you go through the names of the guys, like, you know, like to have Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard, and they draft Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, and I think he can be a really good right tackle. And then Kenyon Green, is he going to turn a corner? That could make them even better up front. And then on defense, like, I think it's easy to look at it and say, okay, you got Will Anderson. Did you upgrade on the other edge going to Danielle Hunter instead of re-signing Jonathan Grenard? And then you bring in DeNico Autry, who has, you know, obviously been in the division, I think his whole career, right? Titans and Colts.
Yeah.
And is, I think he played for the Raiders too, actually, but is an excellent player. You know, and then some of the depth, like having like a Tim Settle there, Derek Barnett coming over for the Eagles, wasn't, you know, great first round pick, but he can play. I think they're very strong at the lines of scrimmage, which I think will sustain their success. And God, the ceiling is high everywhere else, you know? I mean, I you know, you look in the secondary and they add Okuda again, another one of these guys who wasn't a great first round pick, but there's talent there to play opposite Derek Stingley. Jalen Petrie's a rising player in the secondary for them. You know, at receiver, you're adding Stephon Diggs to a really good group already with Tank Dell coming back off the injury and Nico Collins. Dalton Schultz coming back at tight end. I look across the board and this is like, I wouldn't be shocked if they're the Bengals of 21. You know what I mean? Like, where,
or are they the Jaguars Bengals, of 24?
And that's the issue.
You right? know what I mean?
Yeah. That's, but I don't think they are. I just think, and I think holding on to Bobby Slowick is a big deal.
I mean, he almost got two jobs last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just like look at where they're at, and I just have a hard time coming up with reasons why they're going to fall off.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think we're in lockstep on this one. I mean, like I said, the only thing that I would maybe want to do is pop the Colts up there. And my reason is, again, I mean, this team, the Colts outscored everybody in the division last year. They scored 20. Yeah. They scored 19 more points than the Texans did last year with a tandem of backup quarterbacks. They had the
Jonathan Taylor holdout.
The Jonathan Taylor holdout. All the drama with that, you know, self-inflicted ownership-based drama that went on with that team all year. And again, I mean, I was the first to trumpet Shane Steichen as a coach of the year candidate. I believe that should have gotten more consideration, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think that goes away either. You know, this team has another year with him in that system, and they didn't really do anything marked to upgrade the team. But I do think that the Colts think they're better than a lot of other people think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they can come out and beat.
And I mean, like, you know, you can get yourself there by looking at, like, the receiver. Have they finally solved the left tackle problem, right, with Bernard Raymond? Like, they at receiver have some rising young guys, and you know, and Alec Pierce and Josh Downs, and now they're bringing in A.D. Mitchell. It does look like it's an ascending team again, and to be able to weather the storm of so many things last year, I'm with you. I really like Shane Steichen. Like, I think Shane Steichen's got the potential to be like a top quarter of the league head coach. I like a lot of what's going on there,
AFC.
Which is why I put him in second. That's why I put him in second.
All right, so we're pretty close. The only one, and you changed my mind on one in the AFC North. AFC West, I have
the Raiders finishing first.
Yeah, I'm done picking the Chargers to finish in first and the Chiefs to finish in second. You know, I think that, you know, let's do
end of an era.
You know, let's do Chiefs first, Chargers second. Broncos third, Raiders fourth. And
I'm going to agree with you across the board.
Yeah. I mean, Broncos are going to have, you know, I like Bo Nix. I had the Broncos taking him 12 in my mock draft. I felt like that was the right move. I think he's super mature. I think Sean Payton likes him, all those things, but you know, he's going to have to adjust a little bit.
Yep. And I would say, like, over the last couple of years, I've become a reps missionary. When it comes to quarterback reps,
he's got the reps.
Reps in college. And I think that's like the thing that most people in the league took from Brock Purdy's success in San Francisco, right? Like, he had seen so much in college because he'd played so much. He had this library in his head of things, of different offensive stuff that he'd seen, of different defensive stuff that he'd seen, the rush, the coverage, all that different stuff. And and like, this is a guy, Bo Nix, who played at two different schools, who's played for a multitude of offensive coordinators, who's played in two different major conferences. Like, he's seen a lot, and it's, I think, 61 college starts, right?
Yeah,
is that a number?
It's
whatever it is, it's a record.
I know it's more than 60. Yeah,
it's a record. Yeah, so like, he, I think Bo Nix is going to be, by the end of the year, a pretty good quarterback. Now, whether or not, the question is not where his floor is, it's where his ceiling is, you know? So how far can Sean Payton take him past that in 25, 26, 27 is a question, but I think he's going to be a pretty competent starting quarterback by the end of the year. I think the Chargers knock on the door. Trust me, I've had to watch it the last 9 years. Jim Harbaugh's really good. And I think I may have used this line before, but I'll steal it from Joel Klatt again. I heard Joel Klatt use it on his podcast, and I think it's a brilliant way to put it. It's like, everybody spent all their time trying to figure out how to make Justin Herbert better on second 11. Jim Harbaugh is just going to put him in second and five. And I think that was just like such a logical way of looking at it, right? Like, and you look at what they did. They drafted Joe Alt, and they went and they basically stole the Ravens' backfield and signing Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. That is going to be a physical team. That is going to be a team that is going to run the ball well, because that's Jim Harbaugh's history everywhere he's been. He's had elite offensive lines. He has had great running games. And he's had quarterbacks who play really efficiently. And I think by asking less of Justin Herbert, you're going to get more out of him. And, you know, we'll see how Quentin Johnston and Ladd McConkey come along. And they get the Mike McDonald scheme and bringing Jesse Minter with Harbaugh from Michigan, right? So now I think you're probably going to get a little more out of Joey Bosa and out of Khalil Mack and out of Derwin James. And I'm not saying it's perfect. They've still got the cap issue that they're like working through now. But I think that's going to be a really competitive team. Like, I think the Chiefs probably win 12 games again. I think the Chargers win 10.
Yeah.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah. Now, is there any Chiefs regression thoughts in your mind or no?
I mean,
if you don't have Rashee Rice, kind of maybe.
There's a lot of noise, but I just, you know, I wrote this in my takeaways today. I feel like Patrick Mahomes' handling of the Harrison Butker thing is such a great example of his value, his like just global value to that franchise. He walked in there, he defended his teammate, he didn't take a controversial stance on anything, and he opened the door for everybody else to move on from it. Now, Harrison Butker can't move on from it, but the rest of the team can now, right? Patrick Mahomes officially moved the ball for the team. And he did it by standing up there. And this is why it's so important for a quarterback to be that guy, right? Like, because if, I don't know, like pick another good player on that team. If Joe Tooney or even like a Chris Jones or a George Karloftis or a Trent McDuffie or whoever it is, if one of those guys says exactly what Patrick Mahomes says, well, then that's just their opinion.
Right.
Mahomes says it, and that opens the door for everyone to just, for the rest of the roster, Harrison Butker excluded, to move on. And same thing with like Rashee Rice. Like, these are like pretty major distractions that they've got going on. And I'm not calling what happened in the Rashee Rice situation just a distraction. Obviously, it was a lot more than that. But they've got these things going on that would be a really big deal in other places. And the leadership is such with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid there that I don't have any doubt they're going to be able to manage that, you know? And so, I don't know. I mean, we saw them handle a lot last year, I think. We saw them manage a lot. We've seen them win two Super Bowls after trading away Tyreek Hill. You know, we saw like Patrick Mahomes manage through getting like a much lesser version of Travis Kelce for the majority of last year. I don't know where the questions are anymore. You know, like they're not going to win the Super Bowl every year, but they're going to be in it every year. Like they're going to be a threat as long as Patrick Mahomes is upright and healthy. Like they're going to be in it every year as long as Mahomes and Reed are there.
Is there any like, I don't know, could we have like one of those weird, you know, like 2010 Patriots seasons where like the Chargers just come out of nowhere and completely surprise everybody and, you know, just knock the Chiefs off their block for just a second, you know? I don't know.
You mean like Bart Scott saying something at the end of a certain playoff game?
Yeah, something
have
like
you
that.
Have you heard that? You've heard my story about that, right?
No.
Oh, God. That Jets team. Did you cover that team? Was that the first team you covered?
Yeah.
The 10 Jets?
Still recovering from it.
Okay. I didn't know if you jumped in on 10 or 11 or when you jumped in exactly, but that 10 Jets team, I was around them a lot. I was in my first year at NFL Network. And so, you know, I'm still like kind of like learning the ropes. One of the big things is like after games, you get like the 3-question interview with the player on the field, and most of them are nothing. Like, but every so often, like I got the ice up son from Steve Smith, right? Like, so every so often you get one where it's like, it's a big win, you know? And so after the Jets beat the Patriots in 2014 or 2010, And people have to remember, this was like 6-7 weeks after the Jets got absolutely annihilated by the Patriots. Yes. I believe it was on a Monday night, right?
Rex Ryan had to bury the football. We all came outside and watched him bury a football in the ground.
Wasn't it like 42-3 or something like that?
It was bad.
It was okay, so they beat the Patriots. Braylon Edwards comes into, like, I get Braylon Edwards for the post-game interview. Braylon Edwards does a backflip into the interview and then basically takes the mic from me and starts talking into the camera. And so then I grab the mic back and we go back and forth and he yells into the camera at the end, "And for all our doubters, take that," and just storms off. And I'm like, oh my God, I just hit a home run.
So you
and of course, 10 yards away, Bart Scott is giving his interview to Sal Powell.
Oh.
And yeah, what did he say? I don't even now. I'm blanking on what he's. Can't wait. So sure enough, like I thought, I had this massive win. It gets sent in. NFL Network airs it, and it gets buried under "Can't Wait."
Good for Bart Scott. He's still hosting radio around here, based off that.
Who would be the "Can't Wait" guy in the Chargers team, though? I don't know who it would be.
Yeah, it's not going to be like.
It has to be like Derwin James.
Bosa?
I guess. No, Bosa's too subdued. Like Mac and Bosa are too just kind of. They'd be too subdued.
I guess it would be Harbaugh. Right?
Well, I don't know though, because Harbaugh's not big on the post game interview thing. Like Harbaugh would come out. Like I don't know how much Big Ten you watched the last couple of years. He'd come out though, and like as like Jenny Taft was going over for the interview, he'd be like looking around like this, right, and like half assing the interview, and then he'd be like he'd find like JJ McCarthy and he'd pull him in and he'd be like, "This guy right here, talk to this guy," and then walk away. So, I don't know who that guy would be. I'm just trying to think. It definitely wouldn't be Justin Herbert. That's for sure. Yeah, I don't know if you'd have that guy.
Justin Herbert being the spokesperson for like a stable bank is like the most a lot like for like a 401k plan, which is what he does.
The local credit union in Eugene.
He's like, if you put your money in here in 10 years, it's going to do 5% returns. And that's what I want, Justin. That's what I like Justin Herbert to say.
Yep.
Well, yeah. There you guys have it. I mean, you don't even have to watch the NFL season.
We got it all mapped
out.
That's
what the AFC is going to look like. We'll be back
and
next
week.
And
this podcast has a new platform. Ban July football activity.
Ban mid to late June.
Mid to late June.
Football activity start. And then let's go from there. Because you know what?
That's our new platform.
Sports writers and podcasters are people too, guys. You want us fresh coming September. You know?
Yep.
I need my break.
You don't want me throwing 91.
No.
In September. I could be throwing 97.
No, you want me throwing darts, baby.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna be back next week. Like I said, we're gonna do the NFC. We'll probably complain about something else too at the top of the podcast. Hope you guys had an excellent Memorial Day weekend. Thank you so much for sticking with the MMQB podcast. Looking forward to talking to you guys in a little bit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.